This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. Well, just for a little while this morning, we talked about promise, or basically our subject today was operating through promise or by promise. I want to give you some, just a few definitions. I know time is waxing late in the hour, but just to give you something to take with you, that under the new covenant, what God does, He deals with us according to promise. And understanding this here, we begin to understand how the God that we serve operate. The Bible says in Matthew 26, around verse 26, it tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and how He blessed it and broke it. He gave it to His disciples. And then He took the cup, and He said, "This cup is the blood of the New Testament." We began to go through and said that if there's a New Testament, there must have been an old one. Well, the book of Hebrews talks about the old one, how that Jesus, when Jesus came, there was no more need for the old one. The old one was just a schoolmaster to get us to the new one. And being that schoolmaster, it did everything that it was supposed to do in order to safely get us to Jesus Christ. Now, in Him we live, move, and we have our being. And in having that, you know, the Bible tells us that we become a new creation, but we're under a new covenant and a new testament. What we must understand that under this new covenant and new testament, it all operates by faith and by promise. God tells us in the book of Numbers, I believe it is, around the 22nd, 23rd chapter, God says that I'm not a man that I should lie, neither am I the son of man that I should repent. God says, if I said it, I'm going to do it. If I spoke it, I'm going to bring it to pass. Well, God gives us, you know, basically characteristics about Himself. He gives us characteristics about what He do, that if He makes a promise, He not like us. See, because we make a promise, and the Bible says He compares Himself with us. He says, I'm not a man that I should lie. So you know what that tells us about us? It tells us, first of all, and I put myself and include myself in it, that we're a lie. If we put under the right circumstances, all of us in this room are a lie. Then He says that, and neither am I like the Son of Man that I need to repent. Now, all of us need to repent. Amen. That's what God says. God, He compares Himself to man, that all of us are in need of repenting. But then He goes on to show Himself what He's like. He says, if I said something, I'm going to do it. And if I spoke it, He says, oh, I'm going to bring it to pass. So here's what I want you to take away from this session this morning, from this church meeting this morning, is that we operate with God by promise. Not that you made a promise, but He made a promise. And because He made a promise, tell somebody, you can't break it. Now, that don't make sense to some of you all that haven't heard me in the first session. That, and I use this for incident. I have four daughters, and I made a promise to all four of them. Now notice, I didn't make a business deal with them. I made a promise to them. I didn't make a covenant with them. I made a promise to them. And this morning, as I was talking and bringing it forth, the promise was this, that when you graduate from college, I'm going to buy each one of you all a Rolex watch when you graduate from college. Now, it wasn't a covenant because it was already understood that they are going to college. That's bottom line. because we live by the principle of this. Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do also, and greater works than these shall you do. I'm a college graduate. My wife's a college graduate. So the bottom line, the rule, when they come out the womb, the rule is you're going to college. There ain't no thing about you going to drop out or you going to do something. No, you are going to college. So, see, we didn't make a covenant, or my wife and I didn't make a business deal with them, you know, that if you go to college and if you graduate, we're going to buy you a Rolex. No, when you graduate, we're going to buy you a Rolex. That's the promise. Everybody say promise.
Promise.
All right. So that's part of the package deal. That's part of the promise. And also, the promise is that what we're going to do, what Tina and I are going to do, we're going to build you all a house to give you a start in life. We're going to do something that our parents didn't do for us. All right. Now, we're not criticizing our parents. Our parents were not in the position to do it. But see, we've walked with God long enough that we believe, you know, because of his promises on our life, we're going to be in a position, you know, to make you head and shoulders, to give you a start in life that we didn't have. So we're going to buy you a Rolex watch, and not only that, but we're going to build you all a house. You got a house coming from Tina and I. You know, you're not going to have to pay nothing on it. It's debt free. That's your start in life. We're going to make you a homeowner. Automatically, you're not going to be a renter. You're not going to be, you know, a leasee. You're going to be a homeowner. You're going to own some land. That's some of the promises in the Word. So, you know, to get through here, Stephanie, she comes along and she graduates. You got to follow me closer. She graduates. And when she graduates, you know, we're down in Augusta. We go into a store there and, we see a Rolex and we purchase that Rolex for her and we present that Rolex to her. I mean, all of a sudden, one of the biggest smiles come on her face, you know, that she, you know, got a Rolex watch. And then, you know, we built our house and she enjoys that house. Now, there's several things that I want to point out to you in this here. Now, we have three other daughters besides Stephanie. But what did that do for Stephanie apart from the three other girls? All of them are our children, but Tina and I have just empowered and elevated the status of Stephanie in society and in the world that she lives in. We've elevated her status. All right? We didn't make her think more highly of herself. We just elevated her status. You know, she always, unbeknownst to her, had a status because who she belonged to. But now, through the manifestation of a promise, okay, now she understands that I'm wearing a status symbol, you know, to the world. And now my status is elevated. All right, watch this. Kendra, when Stephanie got her house and her Rolex, Kendra didn't go in the closet and start crying. Tam didn't roll on the floor and boo-hoo. Krista didn't start complaining and say, when is mine coming? No. They, as a matter of fact, they start rejoicing with Stephanie. Now, I want to point this back to Christians and Christianity. Because sometimes somebody will get the promise that the Father has promised them before you get your promise. And then what we'll do, we'll start acting out of character. Now, Tamara and Kendra and Krista is a child of Tina and Jeff Reed. And the thing is, you act like a Reed. You walk like a Reed. You talk like a Reed. And you live your life like a Reed. Although your promise have not been manifested in your life as of yet, and hers have, you do not live out of character, act out of character. You don't start talking about, well, you know, since I didn't get mine, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other. Well, that's out of character. And Christians and saints of God do this here, that when they see God blessing somebody else or the promises unfolding in somebody else's life, and they have not come to your life as of yet, instead of rejoicing, like the scripture said, with those that rejoice, we start getting an attitude. We start saying they just think them they something. And it's not the world saying it. It's the Christians. Pastor, you just saying that. No, I'm not. That's what Simeon and Reuben and Judah and Levi and Gad and Asher and Naphtali did when Joseph had the vision and told his dream. The Bible says that they couldn't even speak peaceably to him because they start hating on him because he had a dream. And they were all part of the same family. But if they would just recognize that the promise is to all. And your promise is coming. Yours is on the way. It might be delayed, but it's not denied. Then, now notice, Kendra, then she graduates from college. Now, I want to strongly point out to you, college is not, let me say it again, college is not part of the business deal. It's just when you graduate. What did I do? I used graduating from college as a measuring stick to measure their maturity. Are you really ready to receive this promise? Can you handle the promise that I made to you? Let me say it again, because some of you know, college is not a requirement for them. It is a measuring stick for me, because they can't break the promise. I can only break the promise, but acting as the father, I'm not a man that I should lie, not a son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I'm going to do it. If I spoke it, I'm going to bring it to pass. So the thing is, the father knows when the right time is to unfold and to give the promise to the children, because the father knows that the child is able, number one, to handle the promise, to appreciate the promise. See, some things we're asking the father for, we can't handle it right now. And to prove that we can handle it, you know, we're walking around moping. We're walking around with a bad attitude. We fall out with church. We fall out with prayer. We don't study the word no more because, you know, God ain't done what I asked him to do. Like God's supposed to, you know, jump when you ask him to do it. No, the promise is a promise. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor and in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you, and in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the word is working in your life and how you're being blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in, and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar, and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. No, the promise is a promise. No, it's not a contract, and it's not a business deal. So you can't come to me and say, Dad, I got my degree. You can't come to me and say, Dad, I did this. Dad, I did that. I say, good. Well, don't you think it's time that I get what you promised? No, it's a promise. It's not a business deal. It's not a contract. And this is what you must understand. When I say operating by promise, we're not operating because it's a business deal. We're not operating because it's a covenant. We're operating because I made you a promise. God does the same thing. When he operates in your life, he's not operating, you know, on this level as a covenant, neither as a business deal. He's operating because he made you a promise. Now, watch this here. It don't matter how they're living. I made them a promise. Let me say it again. It don't matter how they're living. They're still my children, and I made them a promise. So if Stephanie was a drunk and Kendra was a dope addict, you know, the thing is, I still would have gave them a Rolex and still would have built them a house because I discern that they're able to handle it. Why? Because it's the father that determines the time and the season when the child is able to handle the promise. Amen. Let me say it to you again. The father determines the season and the time that you're able to handle the promise. So, Kendra comes along and, you know, we do her, Tina and I do her the same thing. Then Tamara graduates. And now, you got to pay attention to this here. That it took 2 years before I bought Tamara her Rolex after her graduation. Now, there was never a time in Tamara's life when she come to me and said, Dad, there's my degree. I don't have my Rolex. You've ever elevated Stephanie to a status. You've elevated Kendra to a status. And I've graduated and I don't have my Rolex. Never happened. Now, I don't know what she was thinking. I didn't see no change in the way she lived. But she never came to me and ask me for a Rolex. That becomes important because of this. When they saw Stephanie elevated to her status, and when she saw Kendra elevated to her status, she knew that Dad is a man of his word. It might be delayed, but Robert is not denied. And she rested in the hope that he knows when the right time is. Come on, look at it in God's sense. Look at it in the sense of God. That the thing is, we want it so bad. We want this so bad that we're trying to put pressure on the Father. We're telling the Father we deserve it. We're telling the Father we can't live without it. We're telling the Father all kind of foolishness. And then the Father, it's almost like he ain't even paying you no attention. And that's when you come and you say, well, it seems like my prayer is just hitting the ceiling. No, he's not listening to that foolishness because he know better than you. So when I deemed and thought it time, when I saw two things. Number one, she could appreciate the value of the promise of what I was about to give her. I wanted her to see what it costs so she could appreciate the cost And number two, she was mature enough to handle the promise. Ask your neighbor, are you mature enough to handle the promise? Now, I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to say something. I told you to ask that question, not to answer it, but to ask it. Because all of us will say, yes, I am. But it's not for you to answer that. It's for the Father to answer it. Because if, you know, we could ask you that, you know, when you're 10 years old. And it's like Krista told me. She says, I told her now, we was easing out the driveway the other morning. And there was a truck that was parked way out in his driveway. I says, now ease on out. She says, I've been driving since I was 12. And I said, I can't tell. All right. So what I was telling her, you still need the Father's advice. You still need the Father's input, you know, because I'm sitting on this side that you got to ease out here, and I want to make sure ain't nothing coming. Yeah. So the thing is, we will answer, yes, I'm ready to receive. Yes, I'm ready for the promise. Yes, I'm ready. But it's not for you to determine when you're ready. It's for the Father to determine when you're ready. Because He made the promise and He sees. So, I'm seeing that she's about ready. So I go to Tina and I say, you know, I'm about ready. Go ahead and get such and such. Get her watch. You know, and Tina gave the nod. You know, she was in agreement. So one day I invited Tamara. I said, come go to lunch with me. Just come hang out with Daddy today. You know, so, you know, I said, I told her, we're going to go over to Cajun's. Knowing that way wasn't where I was going, I said, got close to Cajun. No, I said, let's change it. Let's take a drive. I want you to hang out with me a little bit more. So let's take a longer drive. Let's go to the Beau Rivage. Yeah. And okay, Dad. You know, I'm with you. So we walk in, and you know, I pay for the food. We sit and we eat and we converse and we have a good time talking. And we're on our way out. And there's a jewelry store on the left, and I said, that's a nice jewelry. Let's go in there. Let's go in there and see what they got. You know, so we go in, and there's a whole thing of watches and Rolexes. And I said, you know, ooh, that's some nice watches in there, you know. And now I know that in her mind, she's saying, you know, that was a promise. She ain't said nothing. But I know. Said that was a promise. And I believe in her mind she's thinking, you know, Stephanie has one. And Kendra has one. I don't have mine yet. And then I asked the question, I said, you like those? She said, yeah. I said, which one you like in there? She says, I like that one right there. And, you know, there was a guy. I said, hey dude, come here. And I said, let us see that watch right there. And he gets it out, and he puts it on her. I said, you like that? And she said, yeah, Dad, I like that. And I said, bring that up for her. And she looked at me. She said, Dad, you didn't bring me over to eat lunch, did you? And now, well, Father, how do you know they were able and this time that they appreciated? Because she slept in it. She went home showing it to her other sisters. She wouldn't take it off. Yeah, she called home before she got home. Took pictures of it. Wouldn't take it off. You know, now I know she appreciates it. She looks online to find out, you know, what's the value of it. What it means, where it come from, what's the definition of it. Now I know, and this is what the Father does. This is what the Father does with you, because you're operating what? By promise. You're operating by promise. You know, you can't break the promise because you didn't make it. And it's up to him to unfold the promise and to reveal the promise on your life. Now, we talked about this here. And I use that illustration to help you understand how the Father thinks about us. God has made a promise to you. This is why the devil, circumstances, life, keeps you. Let me just ask you some questions. I was sitting at breakfast yesterday morning, and the Holy Spirit had me write down some questions. Watch. How many of you have read, and you need to raise your hands, how many of you have read the Word one time this week? There's 7 days in a week. How many of you have read it twice? How many of you have read it three times, four times, five times, six times? How many of you have read it twice a day? How many of you have read it three times a day? All right? Because, now here's what I'm asking you this in. Here's what the Holy Spirit says. Ask him this because the Word is the thoughts of God.
Yes.
All right? And the Word is the promises of God.
Yes.
If you don't know the promises of God, it's hard to know what to expect. When I told my children that here's what you're to expect, then I gave them a foundation for expectation. Listen to the word promise. Listen to the word promise. A promise is that which affords a ground, which is a foundation, or a base for hope or for expectation. If somebody makes you a promise, then all of a sudden, you have an expectation. You have an expectation. You are expecting something. Why? Because somebody made you a promise. So a promise gives a foundation or a base for expectation. A promise. It's a pledge, it's a vow, and to promise something affords a reason to expect. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor and in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you, and in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you're being blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. Pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed with Powerhouse Ministries in the city of Bay St. Louis, the city on the bay. And we welcome you to join us for the next 15 minutes. We believe we have an incredible word from the Lord, and you are certain to grow thereby. So let's go into the service. If nobody ever made you a promise, you don't have a reason to expect anything. The reason we expect something from God is because He made a promise. Or He made promises. So in making promises, then He gives us a base or foundation for our expectation. Now, a promise, some synonyms is assurance, it's engagement, it's pledge, it's vow. All right. Another meaning of promise, it is an indication of something favorable to come. It's an indication of something favorable to come. If we promise you something, or if the Father promises us something, then we have something favorable that's coming our way. All right. There's more and more on promise, but here's the deal. When we talk about New Testament and New Covenant, when we talk about being saved and walking with the Lord, God is like this here. You can write this down in Genesis 12, verse 1, Genesis 15, verse 1, Genesis 17, verse 1. God always initiates, or He's always the aggressor when He wants to do something in your life. When God wants to make you a promise, He always initiates the conversation. Because the Father wants to be good to you. Now, and this will throw a lot of people for a loop, no matter what your living status is right now. You don't have to be in church right now. You don't have to have a 7-day prayer life. It'd be good to have one, but you don't have to have that because you don't have to have 3 hours of Bible study every day. God, when He favors you and He makes a promise to you, it's not based on anything that you're doing right now. So that you will not be able to say, and I won't be able to say, God promised me this because of that. If that's the case, it's not a promise. It's a business deal. It's a covenant. And God wants to operate in your life by promise. I promise you I'm going to do this. And when He operates in your life by promise, guess what? In a business deal, I signed a contract with a company in New Orleans that we would finish a project on a certain day, by a certain day. All right. They promised to pay me so much money. They also said in the contract that if you don't finish this thing by a certain day, it's going to be $4,000 a day for every day that you're late. All right. But on the flip side, if I finished it, you know, they're going to give me such and such amount for finishing it on time. All right. So that's a business deal. That's a contract that we both of us have, you know, agreements, and there's size that we must uphold. But a promise is not like that. A promise does not depend on nothing that you do, nothing that you say. It's just because of who you are. So God come to you and make promises to you, not because of what you've done, just because of who you are. And who am I? I am a child of God, born again, saved by the blood of the Lamb, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And God says, well, I got some promises for you. And the thing is, you can't break them. Hallelujah. You can't break them because you didn't make them. So none of these promises is based on what you're doing and what you're going to do. They're based on what I want to do for you. We got it? So it behooves us to find out what's coming our way. And so I can cut this short and go ahead and close out. We want to use Abraham, you know, just for a moment. There's others we can use, but let's use him just for a moment. The Bible says, put Romans 4, verse 14 on the screen in the Message Bible. I don't even know if I want to go there. All right. Well, let's go there. Back up to verse 13. All right. He says, that famous promise God gave Abraham that he and his children would possess the earth was not given because of something Abraham did or would do. Y'all with us? So when God makes you a promise, it's not based on something that you did or something that you would do. All right? He just makes you a promise. What was the promise God made to Abraham? He said to Abraham, in a year I'm going to stop back by your house and Sarah's going to have a son. That's the promise. That's the promise, you know, because Abraham told God in the 17th chapter of Genesis, when God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and Sarah with a son. Here's what Abraham said. Shall a man 100 years old give birth to a son? And shall a woman 90 years old bring forth a child? And then Abraham and Hagar had already produced a child. Abraham told God, just let my seed or my name be called in Ishmael. And God said, it's not going to be called in Ishmael. Because you did that. Come on, talk to me. How many things you did? And you want God to bless what you did. And God said, I'm going to bless it, but not like the promise. As a matter of fact, look at Romans chapter 9. We'll come back to verse 14. Look at Romans chapter 9. Don't have time to read all of it. Start at verse 4 in the Message. Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Here's what it says. He says, Paul is talking about the Israelites, and he says, I grew up with them. They had everything going for them, family, glory, covenants, revelation, worship, promises. You know, and the Bible tells us that we were alienated from the covenants of promise. Israel, the Jews, were a very blessed race. God trusted them with the revelation of his word to write it. God blessed them, you know, even through their bloodline, the Messiah came. God blessed them with covenants that he made. God made them a great family. So Paul says, I grew up with them and they had everything going their way. Verse 5 says, to say nothing of being the race that produced the Messiah, the Christ who is God over everything always. Oh, yes. Verse 6, it says, don't suppose for a moment, though, that God's word has malfunctioned in some way or other. The problem goes back a long way. From the outset, not all Israelites of the flesh were Israelites of the spirit. Come on, he's going to touch on something here. You know, you can even, Jesus even challenged the Israelites in St. John chapter 8. They said, our daddy is Abraham. Jesus says that if Abraham was your daddy, then you would love me. But what you're trying to do is kill me. So Abraham can't be your daddy. Your daddy is the devil. That's good reading. Go back and read. All right. Come on, let's go to the next verse. He says, it wasn't Abraham's sperm that gave identity here. Come on, think about it. How did Tam get her identity? Through my sperm. How did Krista get her identity? Through my sperm. Well, the Bible says it wasn't Abraham's sperm that gave identity to the Israelites. Watch. But God's promise. Remember how it was put? Your family will be defined by who? Isaac. All right. All right. Watch. 99 years Abraham was on the earth. He was married to Sarah. They had been doing husband and wife things all along. I don't care how many candles Sarah lit. I don't care what kind of Victoria's Secret Sarah wore. Come on. I don't care what kind of pills Abraham took. He couldn't get Sarah pregnant. And Sarah couldn't get pregnant until God passed by. And God, when he was 99 years old, said unto Abraham, when I pass by the next year, Sarah will have a son. That's a promise, Jack. So everything that Abraham and Sarah did for those 90 and 99 years, it didn't work. But when God made a promise, it wasn't Abraham's sperm that did it. It wasn't so much as Sarah's egg that did it. It was God's promise that did it. So you see, the thing is that go back to that scripture. So the thing is, go to the next one, verse 8. It says, so that means that Israel's identity was never racially determined by sexual transmission, but it was God determined by promise. This is why your child is not called an Ishmael, because Ishmael was a product of the flesh. You and Hagar got together and y'all produced the child of the flesh. Yeah. But when you and Sarah been trying for 99 years, y'all could never do it until I made a promise. And when I made a promise, then all of a sudden Isaac is a promised child. He's, oh God. Watch this here. And I want to share this with you, especially because I shared it with the early class. Abraham, when God made the promise that you're going to have a son from your own body, Abraham was about 75. Hello, radio listeners. This is Bishop J. Joseph Reed, Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. We're so glad that you've tuned into our broadcast today. And we trust that the Word of God is doing just what it's supposed to do. It's working effectually in your life and causing you to be effective in your local church. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that you can work along with your local pastor and in your local church and cause the kingdom of God to progress. Now, I want you to understand today that we are praying for you. And in praying for you, we want you to call into our 1-800 prayer number. Our 1-800 prayer number is, write this down, 877-905-8655. That's 877-905-8655. We want you to call in and tell us how the Word is working in your life and how you're being blessed through this broadcast. I want you to also know that we're here on our altar every morning at 6 a.m. praying for you. And so therefore, we don't only want you to call in, we want you to write in. And we want you to write in at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. That's at Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. That's Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 2700, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 39521. Now, we want you to write in and we want you to write your prayer request that we can spread them on the altar. You know, Hezekiah in the Bible says that when the king came against him and his nation, he spread his request on the altar and God answered his request. So we don't only want you to call into this prayer line, but we want you to write in so we can spread your request on the altar. pray over your request and see the hand of God work in your life. Now, when you call into this prayer line, again, that prayer line number is 1-877-905-8655. When you call in, we're going to pray with you there over the phone. And then within 24 hours, one of our elders or myself, we're going to call you back and pray personally for you that God would grant you the request that you're requesting. So from that time until now, may God bless you.